over in building number two today. Thank you very much. Those that sang, made sure everything going on, that's good. If you have your cell phone or your iPad or your iPhone and you're thinking about using it, put it down by your lap and use it then, because I will not know if you're texting or making a judgment of my ministry today or whatever, or you're just sending and saying, hey, I'll meet you at McDonald's after service, amen. But I ask you to do that. Turn them off so you won't disturb other people. I appreciate it very much. I don't think any of us are on, if you're on Six Ring Alert, I would certainly hope that you'd have that thing on and it'd buzz and ring and tickle and bite you, whatever, so you can get do your job. But if you're not, and you can just give me about half of your time, I really, actually it's only 25 minutes of your time now, and I'd like to help you today. This world that we're living in is a powder keg. For the most part, everybody, you know it. You've seen the pictures and everything going on today. We're living in a world that's full of false religions with all their false prophets and teaching. While I was gone, of course, this plane shot down in Malaysia, 298 are dead. I don't know about you, but that sure shook my soul, especially when I flew into from Great Falls to Minneapolis into LaGuardia, New York, and flew over New York and got there, and I picked up this paper and just said that another plane was shot down. I don't know about you, but that is quite unsettling to a lot of people. I have flown, I looked at my deal the other day, it was almost 700,000 miles just on Delta. And I thought, boy, so many times. I'm flying, and who knows? You know, one time we were flying out of Great Falls, flying with my beautiful little wife, and all of a sudden the airplane climbed, and all of a sudden it started stuttering. That's not a good idea, you know. And then it started going down a little bit. And because we know a lot of people up there, we were sitting up first class, and I looked over the guy next to me, and he looked at me, and he goes, my wife says, is there something wrong? Well, I said, honey, the pilot hasn't asked me what to do yet, but I really don't know. And I was trying to keep her spirits up, though my spirit, I was kind of like they taught us in school last week. Many times people are like ducks. Everything seems smooth on the top, but boy, their legs are just paddling crazy on the bottom. That's what I was doing, amen. And I looked at her and I said, Marcia? And she said, what? I said, if something did happen, where would you go? Well, I'd go to heaven. I said, so what's the problem? She said, I want to see the grandkids. But anyway. This age that we're living in with shady world leaders and politicians, they spin everything with their lies. I'm not saying all of them do, but certainly got an idea that some of them do. With all the spins and lies, the traitorous world that we're living in, lying and cheating, murder, immorality and drugs, darkness of doom is certainly the norm, isn't it? That's the norm today. When I was growing up back in the 50s, we left our doors open. They were not locked. We left all the keys in our vehicles. Left tractors out in the field. The fans worked really well without squeaking. And life was pretty simple. We lived a life of what you call was peace. World War II was over. The Korean conflict was over. Everything was pretty much pretty quiet. Everybody lived in a home. Everybody had four kids. Everybody had a house. Everybody had a car. Everybody had a good job. And things pretty much were copacetic. They were really good, weren't they? For some of you people that remember those days. For some of you people, you grew up in the Vietnam days and the Haight-Ashbury days and the Ohio State day. And when I'm flicking that, how many understand what I'm talking about? There, yeah. See, I just gained another group of people to come with me. Amen. And our boys that went over and gave their lives for America over in Vietnam, they came home, quote unquote, they were shamed, unfortunately. You are not shamed to me. I stand and applaud you and salute you. Amen. Then, of course, we went and some other things going on, the Cold War, all the things. How many remember when President Reagan said, tear that wall down? How many remember that? Well, see, I just clicked into a new generation. I can see Mrs. Pruitt. She didn't raise her hand because she didn't remember that. She was just a baby during that time. Amen. And then we had Desert Storm. How many remember the Desert Storm? And the atrocities that went on from there. And then September 11. How many remember that? It's incredible, wasn't it? We just couldn't believe that was happening. Amen. And then, of course, Iraq, Iran, pretty much everybody's into that. And now we know the president says, well, let's bring everybody home because we've done our job. We live in a very treacherous time. When I got on the plane yesterday, early morning in Greenville, South Carolina, I have what they call a pre-check, and they put me in a certain line, the fast track, they call it. And I walked up there, and a guy said, he said, you have a fast track? I said, yes. He said, well, it's not on your ticket today. I said, it's not. No, he says, because that means I can walk in with my shoes and my coat on. And I'm a trusted traveler, traveled many miles, so they give you, and now I guess you have to pay $90 for it, but I got it before that. And I asked him, and he said, well, security is heightened. And at the banquet, our opening exercise, the head of TSA spoke to the chaplains. Quite interesting. And you could tell that he was a duck that day because of all the things that are going on in this world with this Malaysian problem and everything. Those boys are at high alert. I don't know if a base of your alert is a little higher or not. I'm not sure about that. I am at home, but we know that that used to never happen. I used to come to the airport. My dad walked me right up to the walk up. I used to take my friend walked right up to the plane and walked me in the airplane. And I said goodbye and give him a hug and go, you know, but now that isn't going to happen. You can't even bring your own water to the plane. It's amazing. The world has never seen such an onslaught of cults and ism and fakers and shakers. We're indoctrinated by the wildest thing that man is doing. Man is now coming up with dreams and weird things and crazy things, bizarre, strange things, unearthly things, unhealthy things, unnatural things, outlandish things. Just plain weird we live in today. Listen to what the Holy Spirit had John write down about the devil. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, if you take your Bible, you may want to look at that. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast down, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole nation, the whole world, deceived the whole world. He was cast out into earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Paul the Apostle told Timothy, his young preacher boy, over 2,000 years ago in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Therefore, what is happening today, are you ready for this? Find out what it's there for, amen? Therefore, what is happening today should not surprise you. I called the sheriff a while back, and he said to me, Chaplain, it just seems like things are just getting worse and worse and worse. He said, when is this going to turn? And I said, Sheriff, it's not going to turn. It's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And he let out a superlative and said, you've got to be kidding me. He said, how do you know that? I said, because the Bible says so. And I said, everything I've ever read in the Bible certainly has come true. This is what Paul said. For the time will come. That's it. When we see these things mounting up, we as Christians should rejoice, realizing Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I mean to rejoice. I mean, thank God He's coming back. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I see all this stuff. When we made that first drug bust the other day, it was 2 blocks from my sister's house in Columbia, South Carolina. We just went by her house. When we turned the corner, here this guy is. He's got it in his front seat. So why should this surprise us? Thank God Jesus is coming back. That's what you got. Hey, listen, don't scare your kids. Tell them, you know what? This thing has to happen so that when Jesus Christ comes back. These things have to happen. Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Wait for the Son from heaven, who He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He delivered us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into His patient waiting for Christ. Sit back, relax. Yesterday I was on a plane and they said, we're having some weather problems and, we're not going to take off until it's clear. And I'm saying, yeah, I'm okay with that. Huh? I get to Salt Lake last night and I had about 4-hour wait over there. And when it finally came, I rushed down to my gate and got down there. And I walked up a lady. I said, ma'am, I said, how are we doing? She said, well, they're changing the flat tire on the plane. I said, fine, that's okay with me. I have no problem with that. But the next person next to me, they're yelling and screaming, why isn't this on time? Give me a break. Are you kidding me? That's like when there's a storm out and people are going crazy because they're going to miss their next flight. I'd rather miss my next flight than being fertilizer for pansies, amen? It's okay. It's okay. I ride with people that are so intent. And they think they know everything about flying. How many times? Oh, this is my first flight, but doggone, they better run the thing right. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10:25. Turn your Bible. You need this. You need to circle this. This will help you get through. I'm here to help you. I'm your pastor. I have seen God take care of myself and others so many times. Now I'm trying to impart this to you. Look, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly. You can put above that church. You're assembling. Not forsaking. What does it mean to forsake? Well, you can tell I haven't forsaken too many dinners. You can laugh. It's okay. Not forsaking the assembling. That means not coming to church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know what? There's a lot of people that come to church once in a while. Easter, Christmas. If granny's not coming over, visitor's not coming over, they'll come to church on Easter, Christmas. And they've gone to church. But the Bible says, listen to me, not forsaking ourselves, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting. That's the strongest Greek word you can get. Literally, grab a hold of them and drag them. Exhorting one another, and so much the day, so much the more, as you see the what? Day of What does that mean? What does that mean, day approaching? Jesus is coming back. So God's Word said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He tells whoever wrote Hebrews, I think it was Paul, but it's not my business because they didn't put his name there, but he told him, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Don't miss church. Every time the door opens, you be there. Because you may miss something. And it may be that you will not be encouraged to get through this crazy life that we're living in. So he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? Yes or no? How many think the days are approaching and Jesus is coming back? How many don't know? How many don't care? You know, you may be here today like I was taught this week. There are three kinds of people that come to hear your lectures or come to your class. One, you're a hostage. You're not going to teach me anything, but I have to be here. I'm going to endure. And then there's the vacationary, the vacation guy. Hey, I'm here, but I'm thinking about golf, I'm thinking about swimming, I'm thinking about snowmobiling, I'm thinking about motorcycle, I'm thinking about riding in the boat, catching that big fish. Amen. Then there's the third kind. He's a student. He comes to get everything he can to take it in so he can pass it on. I hope you're not a hostage today. I hope you're not on your vacation this 25 minutes I have with you. I hope you're here to be taught, to learn. I'm going to tell you something. This world has got a lot of crazy things. I'll tell you what scares you to death every time you pick up something like that. I heard one man and one preacher said, you know, every time you pick up a newspaper, it's like reading Ezekiel. Telling you what's going on in the world. I want you to go to verse 37 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. You got it there? Look in your Bible. We're preaching out of the King James Version, authorized version. Hebrews 10, 25, and then 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. He's coming. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Now here's how you get through it. Watch and pray. You're not supposed to be stupid. You're supposed to watch. And you're supposed to pray. Revelation 22:20. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen! And John writes this little postscript, P.S. He said, P.S. Even so, Lord. Even so come, Lord Jesus. James chapter 5, verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. What are you telling us here? He says, hey, be patient. Well, Paul the Apostle has been waiting for Jesus to come back for 2,000 years. Amen. He didn't come, but he said, hey, be patient. It's coming. Then he said, establish your heart. Settle down. Take a chill pill. Slow down. Relax. Be patient. Establish your heart. This whole heart can really race. I'm telling you, I was taking that class, and my heart was just going like that. Why? Because I didn't want to waste all that money, waste all that time being away from my wife to go to a class that I couldn't pass. If you've ever been with me in class, I'm for the 4-point. I'm for the straight A. And I'll do everything I can. I'll stay up all I can just to get what I need. And all I need. Because I'm a trainer. I want to come back and train. I'm a pastor. I want to come back and pass it on to you. I want to learn everything I can. The guy says, man, you are intent. I had my headphones on, and they're talking around it, but my headphones cancel out noise. It's a great thing. I'm just pecking away on my computer, and this guy bumps me. And I, first of all, I said, what are you bothering me for, man? I'm intent here. He said, man, you're intent. I said, yes, sir. He said, relax. I said, I'll relax when I get this thing done. 4 o'clock in the morning, I relaxed. Folks, do we take our life as a Christian that intent? Are we as intent to get our neighbor saved? Are we intent to make sure we get our time to read our Bible in the morning and pray? Are we that intent? I hope you are. Because Jesus is coming back. Whether you like it or not, He's coming. He's coming. I was a kid. My dad was a county board of supervisor, and he had to go down to Lansing, our state capital, and he said, Sheldon, when I get home, make sure you get that field of hay mailed. Get it baled. Make sure it's done. And cool me. I slept in. I enjoyed life. My three sisters, they're bugging me. When are you going to get that done? Oh, I'll get it done. I got plenty of time. When's Dad coming home? I think Friday sometime. You understand that I could have lost that whole hay crop? So Friday morning, I got on the tractor, hooked up the baler. First of all, I had to rake the field. I raked the field and I put it in columns and I got on that baler and fired that old baler up and started going. And all of a sudden, I looked back and all I was doing was baling. The tire wasn't working. The knotter wasn't working on that stinking baler of my uncle's. And I stopped and I looked at the thing. I got my sister Marilyn, Lois, and I said, Lois, you got to come and drive the tractor. That's scary. Because she's a herky-jerky, one of them ones. Put the clutch in, knock you off. You know what I'm talking about, Scotty. So she's on there, and the wind is blowing a little bit, and it's blowing like this. I'm sitting on the twine hopper. And the wind is blowing here, chaff, all the, I can't even hardly see, but I can see when that knife comes up, I mean this thing comes up and looks like a knife and comes back down, it leaves a piece of twine. So I tied it, and we just kept going down. But you got to understand, these are only 90-pound bales. So it's bale after bale after bale. Guess what it starts doing? Clouding up. I said clouding up. That means it's going to rain. Got them bailed. Clouds are getting stronger. Unhook the baler. Jump off that baler. Go over to the horse water trap and throw some water all over me. Get some of that chaff off me. Get Lois on the tractor, and I'm on the wagon. Knock me off 3 times. Broom, choo. You know what the deal was? That's like some of you going to be. That neighbor. You're going to see the coroner's car out by the house. A couple years ago, I was responding to a call, and here's right next to Scott and Renee's, their neighbor. He killed his wife and killed himself. You got to be ready. And as the Scripture teaches us that we should be patient. And we need to establish has God taken care of you before? Well, establish this, my house, my heart. I have faith that God is going to take care of me. Is the time coming? Yes. Every sign, everything is done. Jesus can come back right now. Oh, Gabriel, the Lord says to Gabriel, hey, wet your lips and blow that horn. Blow that trumpet. trump of God shall sound. Scripture kind of goes like this. The trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and those that remain. We're the remains. Doesn't sound very good, does it? We're the remains. Those that remain shall be caught up and will ever be with the Lord. Are you ready for the trumpet? I heard one man said, the Lord's coming back so soon. He said, every time I hear a horn honk, I get to my tippy toes. Amen. Lord's coming back. Now, first of all, the most important thing is, are you saved? I mean, are you sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Or are you sure that the trump of God shall sound, that you will be caught up with Him? He said, how do I know that? By coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and professing your faith, say, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I know I'm a sinner and He died for me. I believe that I am a sinner and I ask Him to forgive me of all my sins. And I ask Him to be my personal Savior right here, right now. Jesus said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, that's so simple. He said, why is it so simple for the little ones and the old ones? Few will go through life ever knowing for sure they're saved. That's sad. But Jesus wrote in 1 John, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. How many, beyond a shadow of doubt, God does not lie. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh on the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's no other name man can be saved by. So if you're here today and you have not experienced that being born again or being saved or knowing Christ as your personal Savior or making that, some people call it a personal commitment, whatever you want to call it, it is time in your life that you say, I'm going to seriously think about this. I know that Christ is coming back. I see what's going on. I read it every day in the newspapers. I am going to do something about this. The question you want to ask me, preacher, what do I got to do? I'm glad that you asked. Confess that Jesus Christ is God. Believe that He died on the cross and He rose on the third day. Realize you're a sinner. Invite Him to come and be your Savior. Your personal Savior. Simple as that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would speak to our hearts and help us to realize that this is a time that we search our souls and our heart and say, is there been a time? Has there been a time in my life? I see all the news. I hear all the news. I hear the radio. I hear all the craziness. I mean, stuff that you can't even hardly believe going on, and I'm scared. This is some uncharted places that even America's never been through. And I just don't know what to do about it. My friend, I'm offering you the greatest opportunity of your life, and that is become a Christian. Become a born again. To become one who has a personal relationship with a Heavenly Father. Jesus, You said, I would that none would be lost, that all would be saved. Scripture teaches us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, doesn't make any difference what color we are, doesn't make any difference how old we are, doesn't make any difference how rich we are or how poor we are, He said, whosoever. Put your name there. With your head bowed, eyes closed, you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. Why don't you right there? With your head bowed, eyes closed, and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Lord, be my Savior today. in Jesus' name. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer. I have really been concerned what's going on in this world. And today, I settled it with my Heavenly Father." You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer." Would you lift your hand? God bless you. Anyone else? It's a wonderful thing. You know Christ your Savior. Anyone else? I took care of it today, Preacher. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, and I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd just help us, Lord Jesus, to do what you'd have us to do. Dear God, in this world of craziness and turmoil, may we see through it all you that would establish our hearts, that would give us that peace that passes all understanding. We don't know why we can be at peace, but we do know that there's God that loves us and cares for us. In Jesus' name. I'm going to have you, everyone, to stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure. Or today, you prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to be your Savior. But you're here today and say, "You know what? I'm not sure about that. And I'd sure like to have you show me in the Word of God." Hey, by the way, can I just make one thing? We're not here to make a Baptist out of here. We're here to make sure if you die today that you'd go to heaven. That's the most important thing. Good night. People are dying just by the moments, and they're not sure they're saved. What a pitiful thing. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved." Why don't you just step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, "Preacher, today I want to be saved. I want to make sure that I'm on my way to heaven." Or today, "I prayed that prayer with you, Preacher, today. I invited Jesus Christ to be my Savior." You come right now. Quickly come now. The Bible said, "Behold, today is the day of salvation," not tomorrow. You don't wait. You take care of it right now. You may not be able. It may be not the time. You may leave here and go into eternity. You have no idea. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come?" Quickly now. Won't you come to Jesus today? You're here today and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism." According to the Word of God, that's the first thing job you're to do, is follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You go down in the water, up out of the water, illustrating a death, burial, resurrection in Jesus Christ. It'd be a terrible thing if Jesus Christ came back and you didn't do the first thing he told you to do. Maybe you're here today and you need to join the church. You see what goes on here. You've been here. You need a place to be assembling that. Hebrews 10:25. "Preacher, today we want to join the church. We want to serve God here. Why don't you come at this time?" I want to praise the Lord for Ocean Anaya. Well, that's quite a name, Ocean Anaya. She asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior in the Sunday school this morning. And we praise. Hey, that's what it's all about, amen? How old are you? 9 years old. Man, that is wonderful, young lady. Did they ever call you C for short? Thank you. Hey, don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, be back. Brother Combs will be preaching to you. You will really enjoy being with him. I hope God speaks to your heart. I hope that God will just establish your heart and say, "You know what? Okay, I see it." Because there's a lot of guys at your work, a lot of ladies at work, a lot of teenagers at school. They're scared to death what's going on. They don't like this kind of stuff. They're afraid. I hope that you will share your faith with them and say, "You know what? I know that's happening and I don't like it either, but I know one thing. If something does happen to me," what's so important in that thing? You've been reading it all the time.
I'm just looking at the calendar.
Oh, just looking at the calendar. I haven't preached that long. Good night, girl. And they'll say to you, "Well, what do you mean?" Well, I'll tell you that though these things happen, I know for sure if something happens to me, if I was in that airplane, I know that I'd be absent from this body and present with the Lord. I know that for a fact because the Bible says so. And I said, "Well, where does it say that?" And you can take him the Word of God and you can show him. Or you can say, "Hey, how about come church son in? I want you to meet my preacher." You know, or come on over to my house. My mama will be more than happy. You know, it's amazing what you can do with people. They're afraid. I'm telling you, I've never talked to so many people who are so afraid in this last week. They are, and military people, they are just, they're just flipping out about this kid. Because you know what's going to happen, don't you? If that thing keeps on, what's going to happen, Tucker? Huh? Yeah, we're about to go. And we don't want that. But we like daddies with babies and mamas. That's what you got married for, you know. But you signed up, and that's why we have parades for you, and we salute you, and we thank God for you, because we kind of have a little idea of what you have given in your life. So if you have the peace of God in your heart, think what it'll do for that buddy next to you that is just going crazy. His wife's going to divorce him when he leaves, and they don't have enough money to pay the bill. How many have ever heard that story before? How many have ever been in deployment? How many in deployment have ever heard of anybody getting divorced, getting a Dear John letter? All of you. All of you.
Yeah.
We don't want that. So if they have a peace in knowing that God is coming back and knowing that we will live for eternity with that loved one, that changes some things in our hearts and our lives. And so, hey, let God establish your heart. Don't walk out of here afraid. Walk out here and say, "You know what? It's coming." And we know that's coming. I don't like to get spooked. I don't like to have somebody come up behind me and go, "Boo!" I don't like that. I used to do it to my wife all the time. I used to hide in the closet when she'd come around. Maybe that's why she had a heart problem. I don't know. But I'd hide, you know, and she'd be, and I'd go, "Hey!" "Oh my goodness, don't do that to me." I don't like it either. When I was in college, I still got 2 minutes. When I want to make sure I pass this one. When I was in college, one of my roommates hid in the closet, and it was dark. And I wasn't sure of the surrounding. I was working on my judo brown belt, and I walked in, turned my back to that door, and he opened it up, and he said, and I threw him. About killed him. Lucky I didn't throw him out the window, because we were on the second floor. I don't like surprises. God says, "Hey, I'll tell you what, you don't have to be surprised. These are things that are going to happen to you. These are things that are going to happen. You understand it? This is how the world is going to be going. You better just figure it out and have someone that'll help you. And put his arm around you and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." God bless you, folks. Have a great afternoon. And I'll see you tonight at 6:00.